Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back to Reborn Identity. We have a wonderful night. And try to not up.
Hey.
Hey, Ruth. How are you? Yeah, you're here.
You're coming in broken. I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry. You know what? We're experimenting with this new technology. You are on air at the moment. How are you? How was your to the Reborn Identity one more weekend?
Good evening. How are you?
Having some technical difficulties, but you know that comes with live radio.
It sure does. This is the first time we're experiencing though, so it's kind of throwing me off. But yeah.
Yeah.
So how was your week?
My week was really awesome. As the holidays are approaching, we're learning more and more about so many things. And for me, I have to admit that I learned a very important lesson this week. When you ask the Lord to show you how you are doing in your spiritual life, He has a tendency to uncover things. And He also has a tendency of showing you the progress. And I was amazed to meet someone who hurt me a great deal as a child and be able to be compassionate and loving and knowing that God has my back. So that was interesting when I asked the Lord to show me if I've been doing right and I should be still in ministry. He has a tendency of just showing me how wonderful that is. So I'm very excited about that. And how was yours?
It was busy. It's I've been taking world dance. I don't know how many of you know I've gone back to school, and I've been taking a world dance class, and in lieu of a final exam, we had a performance 2 days this weekend, and that was our final exam. And it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. But it wiped me out. I didn't realize how strenuously, I guess, I was working, because I've been wiped out all day. But it was good. It was a good week, all in all.
But have you noticed, I'm not sure if it's just me, but I have been extremely tired more so than any other month this year.
Well, I have. I've been feeling really tired, and I don't know if it's, you know, that I'm getting older or, but normally I'm a night owl, and lately I fall asleep wherever I sit down. If I sit down on I sit down on the couch and I wake up in the same clothes I sat down in. And I don't know how that happened, but it's been happening quite a bit lately. So, I've been feeling wiped out. So I don't know if that's just age or if there's a virus going around. I don't know. I'd like to claim a virus instead of age, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, we really like to use age. I always like to say, I'm not there until I get my AARP leader, and that's coming very soon. So I'm trying to rush it. But, talking about rushing, the years soon to be ending. Are you prepared for that?
You're breaking up again. So I just had a thought. So allow me to interrupt, and I hope that you can hear me. But I'm wondering if it's because we are going to be discussing such an important topic that we seem to be having some interference tonight. And maybe it's just me, but just in case it's not me and this is the way it's coming across the air and people can hear the interference as well, I'd like to just stop and pray about that and see if God can just clear this up.
Yes, because I think we're back on unreasonable. And so I know that he's going to get blessed. Why don't you open up this program with prayer?
Okay, Father, we just come to you, humbled servants that we are, just asking you to guide our words tonight as we talk about something that is so crucially important because it's happening all over the world, dear Heavenly Father, whether we want to admit it or not. It's something that is horrific and that needs to be stopped. And we just ask you for your guidance and for your mercy. As we're talking about this, we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that you can clear that up so that the public won't have any interference in hearing what needs to be said tonight. So we bring all this to you, and we bring this program to you, and we thank you for our guest tonight. And we just thank you for the ability to be able to have this platform and to do your work. And we say and ask all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.
When I'm on the phone with Tony Nassif, we're going to get this if you can give me one more minute. Thank you so much, Ruthie.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we're preparing for tonight's program, I just wanted to talk about the first time that I actually saw human trafficking with my own two eyes, and that was, I can't say that it was human trafficking per se, but it seemed to be human trafficking. That was back in, I'd say, late 90s, beginning of 2000. And I remember I was sitting at my desk, I was working in an office, and I happened to look out the window, and there was a white van that would pull up every day, and some girls would come out of this van and go into this place. And this was something that happened on pretty frequent, everyday thing. And one day, I remember looking up out the window, and there seemed to be a thing going on. And when they brought out a lot of these girls, and I actually was able to get a closer look at them, a lot of them were really, or they appeared to be really, really young. And that, like, really struck my heart as something that, as a parent, you know, shouldn't really be happening to your child or to anyone else's child. And it would appear that from what I saw, that these girls were of Eastern European descent. And I don't know how they were brought into the country or how it all happened, but I'm glad that the FBI was able to close that ring of human trafficking. And that's how I first saw it with my own two eyes. I'd heard about it in the past, but just like things that we hear and don't see, it's hard to believe that things like that are happening in this day and age. But having seen it with my own two eyes, it brought it to a different level of cognizance into my life, which I could no longer refute. And I don't know where you are in your life, if you've ever encountered something like this before, or if you've even heard any tales or stories of human trafficking or read books about it, but I am here to tell you that it is a problem that is very real. Very real in not only our society, but in societies throughout the world.
Yes, I agree with you. It's very real. We have Tony Nassif. I heard your what you were talking about. We have Tony Nassif on the line. For some reason, this is unheard of and unprecedented. I've never had to deal with something like this, but I'm sure that... that is in the world. Can you hear me now, Chloe, a little better? Ruthie?
I can hear you.
But not as good as we would like.
No, you come in and out, but I can hear you. Is Tony on? Because I can't hear him yet.
I'm online.
Okay, good.
Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, well, we're hoping and praying that all this irons itself out, but we're very, very privileged to have you on the air with us tonight.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, absolutely.
Tony.
Well, just real quick.
Yeah, Pat,
go
ahead.
Did you introduce him? I don't know if you did.
No, I was trying to introduce him, but, you know, why don't you go ahead? You have a better connection than I do. I'm going to stay really quiet in the background unless I have to say anything because the problem
all
is
right, well,
from,
tonight,
from my end.
Is it? Okay. Well, tonight we have with us Mr. Tony Nassif. He's the president of the Cedars Foundation. And as I said before, we'll be talking about human trafficking tonight. So, Tony.
Yes.
What can you tell us about human trafficking? What is it?
Well, human trafficking is basically the commercial sexual exploitation of women and children who have been lured, deceived, or coerced by various means. And the victims range anywhere from little children up to adults. And that's and about 83% of trafficking is for commercial sexual exploitation. The rest is for labor. And we at the Cedars Cultural and Educational Foundation, we put on the Preventing Abuse Conferences that are targeted to educate the public and motivate them to do something and activate them to take action.
So how serious a problem is it, would you say?
It couldn't get worse, but it will. It's a threat to our national security, and that's just not me saying, that's the State Department, because even terrorists are involved. It is a threat to national security because of the health standard, because of the spread of disease, because of the prostitution and so forth. It is
mm-hmm.
the second biggest moneymaker in the world next to illegal drugs, and it's growing. And it's growing even exponentially because if you deal in illegal drugs, you have to buy the drugs, sell it, and then you have to buy it again, whereas a trafficking victim, they get them once, and they just keep turning them over and over and over. Some girls as many as 30 times a day. And it's all part of the cultural collapse. That's why it's growing.
So I think you heard what I said earlier about my experience with it. Do you believe that we have human trafficking issues here in the United States?
It's rampant. It's vast. I got a report. I've had reports that say up anywhere from 100,000, 200,000 child prostitutes in America, up to millions, 1 million in the United States, subject and victimized by pornography and sex trafficking.
One million?
Yeah, that's a report I just read. Up to 1 million. It's hard. You can't put a real number on it, but you can get. There's a lot of groups that have done studies on it, and what's happening, there's something called reverse trafficking, and that is where the men used to go to third world countries to have sex with kids. Now the men are coming here, and the unbelievable thing is that the trafficking is not limited to just metropolitan areas. They're in the Midwest, small cities, big cities, towns, truck stops, you name it. See, what we have is a cultural collapse. We have a moral disintegration. Now, you were talking about the enemy getting involved trying to stop this show. Let me explain something to you. People in America are rejecting the reality that there's a spiritual dynamic to our whole human existence. This human trafficking, as well as abortion, because that's trafficking in flesh, although another kind. But here's the point. The enemy has to stop the America from being America, which spread the gospel throughout the world. He is doing to America what he did to Israel in the days of Balaam. He's getting America to unleash the blood of innocent children upon its own head, and thereby he will go to God and demand condemnation and destruction of the nation. Now, there's a whole story to it. In fact, I wrote a piece on this called The Satanic Strategy of How to Destroy America and Put the Church in Bondage. But let's go back to the issue of trafficking itself. What you have in trafficking...
No, what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You have in trafficking is a spiritual dynamic where the enemy of our souls seeks to bring the condemnation of victimization of the innocent upon the head of the perpetrator and the land, but upon the little child, he seeks to defile innocence. And what happens to a child or a young person, or even an adult, when they're victimized by being a human trafficking provider, is that they experience the ongoing abortion of their soul. So, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
So let me ask you a question because, oh my goodness, okay. Would you say that human trafficking here in the United States, is it actual Americans that are being trafficked as well, or is it foreigners that are being brought in to be trafficked?
It's both. I'd say about 8 years ago, I think it was the CIA estimated up to 40, 50,000 women being brought into the United States because they were lured here thinking they're going to get a job. And and then they get here and find out, well, we got a surprise for you. But in America, it's rampant. It's like I said, there's a million children a year reported missing in America. Most of them are non-custodial parents, but then watch out because there are some relatives who actually pimp their own kids.
Yes.
Get out.
I'm back on the line right now. Tony, that is correct. There was a case just recently where the, I mean, the parents were selling their children.
Yeah. There was a man.
No way.
Yeah, there was a man. He was busted in a sting operation. He had offered to rape his three-year-old daughter on the internet if the other guy would do the same. He could watch.
You
know what your response is? Your response is the same as most everybody else. And people say, I can't believe somebody would do this. And this is my answer. You can't believe it because you're not taking into consideration the reality of downright evil.
That's true. I mean, there is a lot of depravity. There is a lot of depravity, you know, in our society as a whole.
Stop. Let me tell you
something. But it still is.
Child pornography is the fastest. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, you know, as a human, I think it's really hard, you know, as someone that doesn't practice in these things, it's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that a parent or a relative would stoop so low. I mean,
that's because you would never think of it. You can't comprehend it because it is pure evil. There was one young child that was busted for trying to pimp their 7-year-old stepsister.
Oh my goodness!
Yes. Yes.
Oh wait, that even gets worse than that. I won't go into it, but it gets worse than that.
Tony, you were saying that pornography, something about pornography, and I wanted to hear what you were saying about, I guess it's increasing, pornography is
right.
I mean, I know that there, as a matter of fact, I went to a course with Corey Jewel Jensen. She's been on Oprah Winfrey, and I went to take a course from her, an all-day course regarding pornography and child pedophiles, and it was interesting how they are creating opportunities so that people who are not pedophiles or into pornography get hooked.
See, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, pornography. There is the spiritual dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and there's the psychological
mm-hmm.
one. Okay, the spiritual dynamic is evil. Jesus said, he who looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. So he deals with pornography 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, pornography by its nature releases a chemical in the brain that brings pleasure, but it doesn't bring fulfillment. And so through pornography, we have experts that speak at our conference that talk about the addictive nature of pornography that's on the same level as crack cocaine, say, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is they get hooked. And then that high becomes, they become immune to that high, so they go harder and harder and harder. And now child porn is the fastest growing on the internet. The law enforcement is saying we're losing the war. Now my question is, where are they getting the kids? Now one of our speakers, Noreen Gosh, was instrumental in busting a major child porn website. And it's global. It's vast. There were hundreds involved. And then you had the Pentagon and the SEC. Remember those stories? There were busted officials who were using their computers to download porn.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. This country
mm-hmm.
is on a fast track to judgment and condemnation and implosion. And if the church doesn't get up out of the pew and out of the pulpit, the first accountability will be to the pastors and then to the parishioners, because we're going down a fast track, and it's not pretty.
So let me ask you a question, Tony. If I, and this is some questions that people are asking, what do you do as a member of society? You are
right.
in church on a Sunday. You're in church on a Saturday. You're in church whenever
right.
you are. And somebody comes in, I'm running away. I was held captive. I'm running away. What do you do?
Okay, here's the important thing. There are hotlines. First of all, what I would do is call your local law enforcement and call the police, call the FBI. The FBI, when the head of the FBI for LA told us, he said, do not hesitate to call us and let us know. They don't care how many false alarms it is, because if they get one, then there, it was all well worth it. Now, there was a case in Orange County, California, that a guy happened to walk by, see something strange, and he put a call into the hotline, and the girl was rescued. So first thing you do when somebody claims there's a problem is that you get a hold of the FBI, get a hold of law enforcement, and tell them what's going on. Remember, these traffickers are very dangerous. But if somebody comes in, hey, if it were me, I'd make sure they were okay and immediately get that phone call made.
So let me go back to something that you said about it being very prevalent here in the United States and
sure.
having issues of human trafficking in the United States. So right. what is being done? Because you said that law enforcement feels like they're losing the war.
They're losing the war on child
trafficking.
Porn. Trafficking
okay.
is growing because prostitution is growing, because the demand is growing. Because the moral acceptance is growing. The paradigms of right and wrong are being disintegrated. They always have to go back to the root problem. What's fueling the demand? You have a culture
mm-hmm.
whose paradigms, moral paradigms, are disintegrated. Now anything
mm-hmm.
goes. Now there's homosexuality being embraced, which is totally diabolical and contrary to just normal human existence. You have the proliferation of mainstream pornography. Today, it's normalized on the television. You have the sexualization of television. RAND Corporation did a great report on the impact on children. I'm telling you, we're headed down. It's not even slippery anymore. It's just a tube. And so that's the key. You have to find out what's fueling the you go to the demand. What's the demand is the buyers of the sexual exploitation, and then what's fueling them to go buy. There's nothing to say no. I even talked to
right.
some people, some businessmen about the problem, and a couple of them were joking about it.
Yeah, you know what? Wasn't it the World Cup this year? Was it the World Cup was this year, wasn't it, or last year?
I can't remember.
It was this year in South Africa.
It was this year, yeah, in South Africa. And they were saying of the young girls that they noticed coming in with older men, little young girls with older men.
Yeah.
And they made they were talking about those things, and then they said that the United States became part of that list of human trafficking, which we were never
right.
in that. Of course, back to slavery, we were in there. But since then, we didn't have those issues, and now the United States is part of what list? What is that kind of list?
Well, it's called the trafficking. It's called the Trafficking in Persons Report put out by the State Department, whereas they rate the various countries on what they do. And by the way, I got to give George Bush credit. He put a lot of heat on these countries that were among the most severe, and they linked their foreign aid to the work they were doing to stop it. And so I give him credit for that. And I was there at the White House for the signing of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which was most reassuring. And what the nice thing is, if there is a nice thing, is this thing crosses all the political barriers. Because there's no liberal or Republican. You're just talking about saving the lives of women and children. But here's the thing. In all sports events, the human trafficking, the pimps, they bring their girls in. Because, again, America has normalized the abnormal. And the church has kept their mouth shut. In fact, I would go so far as to say is that pornography is rampant in the church. You see? Because most churches do not know the truth about spiritual warfare. that you're engaged in a demonic battle, and they don't know how to use the weapons that Christ gave us. And those weapons are these fold: the power of the Holy Spirit by the gifts of the Spirit, by discernment. Number two, standing up using the political system to establish and reestablish traditional moral value systems. And then in the schools, in the culture, demanding, instead of going to see these triple X theaters, demand that they get shut down. And it could happen, because I got to tell you something. Here's the good news. The major studios are going towards more family-friendly films because they make the most money. Now, I don't care what their motivation is, but if they're if they're doing what's right, God bless them. There you are.
Wow. So, so Bush did, at least he took some measures, and he put things in place. But what? It's not gonna. It seems like it's not gonna stop. It's just gonna slow down for a little bit. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Let me tell you what happened. I'm not the guy that would be normally involved in dealing with this problem. I'm single. I've never been married. I have no children. I'm straight, and I've always been straight. But in 1990s, late 90s, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to destroy and tear the mask off of the devil. Now, when he calls me in to do something, he doesn't do it just for fun.
Right.
He has a goal in mind, and he's going to accomplish it, and it is irrelevant what the results are. We are all mandated to take action. I had a meeting with a city councilman, and I said, look, if you don't get the church involved, you're just going to keep having job security, because the church is the largest grassroots movement the world's ever known. It's driven by a heart passion, and it's the most cost-effective. This cannot be won without grassroots support and grassroots education, and that's what our preventing abuse conferences do. We educate the public about the problem and motivate them to do something by getting involved and activate them to take action. So this can be destroyed. In fact, you know what? You'll find this really interesting. One day I was thinking about the same thing you are, Vivian, how vast this problem is. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what am I going to say to the cynics who say, where's your God?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he doing, why is he letting these poor innocent kids get mutilated like that? I said, what do you want me to tell them, Lord? I said, well, now watch out for the answer. You ready? He said, Tony, you tell them that's my question to you. He said, I've given you everything you need to destroy this problem. I've given you my spirit, my blood, my word, my government, my communications networks, my law enforcement. I will not do for you what I've commanded you to do and given you the tools to do it. Now, you ready? He gave me scripture. Moses at the Red Sea. Now, this is right in the Bible, by the way. Moses at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's on one end, the sea's on the other. And what does Moses do? He prays. Well, nothing wrong with that, right? You know what God said to him? What are you praying to me for? Take the rod. You lift it up. You stretch it out. So when I get up in the morning, God never puts my pants on for me. When I get up in the morning to have breakfast, God never feeds me. But he gives me the capability to put my pants on, to feed myself. Now, he's given us the capability and the instruments to deal with this problem, and he will hold us to account.
That is true. I mean, that was my next thing. If we don't do anything as Christians, as citizens, we're just as guilty as the people themselves that are doing the crimes.
You know what?
What?
No, that you're right on target. That's a basis in law.
Mhm.
If you see a crime and you don't do anything, pick up the phone or do something. Then you're as guilty as the perpetrator.
Exactly.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to go jump the perpetrator and risk your life, but it means you have to do something. Whatever is at the moment, get on that phone, call the law enforcement. Start asking questions. Start being aware. There was one house was a house of a brothel. They kept moving people in and out in a nice neighborhood. And people just walked on by because, hey, it doesn't affect me. That's what people do.
And little do they know that it does really affect everyone.
Oh, are you ready now?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Our national security is threatened. The drug lords are now involved in human trafficking. From Mexico.
Yes.
The girls from Europe, they're taken into Mexico because the borders are so porous. Then they're brought in here. And you've got the proliferation of venereal disease, such as AIDS, STDs, that's affecting our society. We know what? We don't have any idea the vast infection. Then you have the terrorist involvement. Then you have the big money from trafficking, second biggest moneymaker in the world, and it's propping up corrupt governments. Oh, yeah, we're all victims. We just don't think it.
Well, we're going to take a pause there for a moment, and we're going to try to do something really quickly just so people could understand. Tony Nassif, you are with the Cedars Cultural and Educational Foundation. You do have conferences on preventing abuse. You are well-versed in human trafficking. You are a Christian, a man of God. It sounds like David going against Goliath.
You know what? Here's the thing. David never asked nothing but said, I know my God.
Mm-hmm.
I know my stones. He had five stones. Some people try to spiritualize. You know what I say? Those five stones represented perseverance. He was going to exert all his effort and his power and leave the rest into God's hands. And by the way, Vivian, if I can mention, the website, go to cedarsfoundation.org and sign up for our newsletter, because we're getting ready to have a series of conferences for 2011. So get to cedarsfoundation.org and sign up for our mailer, and we'll get you on the list. You can know where we're going. And we're going to cover the whole country.
That's fabulous. You know, another thing too, I want to tell you, Christians have a tendency of thinking, well, we're never in those wrong places, so those things will not happen. And I'm going to tell you a story really quickly where I met a young lady, 19 years old, and it broke my heart. It's the beginning of the year, and she told me that as soon as she hit 18, she decided to leave the church, and she started dating this guy. Within that week that she started dating, he took her and made her hostage, in a hotel, forced her to have sex with other people. So basically he became her pimp. She never thought that that would happen to her. That if she would have escaped, she would have had, he would have killed her. And I was, when she told me her story, the only saving grace was that there was a sting operation, and she ended up being involved in it because after being there for several months, her mother didn't know where she was at. Everything.
Right.
But another girl, 14 years old, walking from high school, from her junior high school.
This is not uncommon. We had a young lady, Teresa Flores. She was one of our speakers, and she was trafficked out of her own house. See, they use intimidation and coercion. Force, fraud, or coercion. And it is happening in small town America, big town America. There was a report many years ago on a conspiracy to bring children to Washington, D.C., get them to have sex with government officials, put it on film, and blackmail them. And this is not isolated. We have a woman whose son was kidnapped in the 80s, Johnny Gosch. She discovered his kidnapping was by an organized network. You know, we always hear about these kidnappings by these lone pedophiles. Oh, no, there are networks out there. So young kids are cherished because they're fresh and they're clean. See, it's the defilement of innocence.
And that is why Satan. Let me read something to you. Let me read something, and I hope that my listeners can understand. This is from, I don't know if you've ever heard of Terry Randall.
Yeah.
Terry Randall in Time magazine, he wrote in October 21, 1991 issue. I believe that there is a devil, and here's Satan's agenda. First, he doesn't want anyone having kids. Secondly, if they do conceive, he wants them killed. If they're not killed through abortion, he wants them neglected or abused physically, emotionally, sexually.
Yeah.
One way or another, the legions of hell want to destroy children because children become the future adults and leaders. If they can warp or wound a child, he or she becomes as warped or wounded adult who passes on this affliction to the next generation. This is Terry Randall in Time magazine, October 21st, 1991.
Very well said. And here's another thing I'll add to that. One of the reasons the devil does all that, what he just talked about, is that he wants to bring the curse of the blood of the innocent upon America. Just like the blood of righteous Abel was a curse to Cain.
Yes.
And it resulted in a horrible curse upon him. And you see, the enemy, the devil, wants to destroy America because he's got to destroy the church, because the church has been spreading the gospel, which then precipitates his final destruction. And this is one of the spiritual weapons that the enemy has. And people don't have a clue because they're stuck in their academic theology rather than the spiritual discernment of the real weapons of our warfare.
That is
a lot to think about.
It's meaty. I mean, it's heavy.
It's very, very heavy.
It is very heavy, but once again, it's like I now understand more in depth as to what human trafficking is. It's basically slavery. Slavery.
That's exactly what it is. It's a slavery for commercial sexual exploitation. Somebody's making a buck. Now, you know what they say about the terrorists and the drug lords down in Mexico? They have no soul. They're so dead. That's how they can commit all these violent and perverted acts upon their victims.
And that's you know, Tony, not even, you know, we all know that the Spirit of the Lord, you know, we're living at the toenails of the Statue of Babel,
yeah.
Really seriously. And I know that our character is either molded by Christ or by Satan.
That's right.
And our character is the only thing that we can take to heaven.
when we see these people that have no soul, you know that the Holy Spirit has to be removed from them. Because if you have a spirit within you, there's no way you can do that. And if you have the Spirit of the Lord touching you and knocking at your door and you allowing him to come in, then we will be standing up to be the voice, the voices for those individuals, those children, those
right.
young adults, those teenagers who cannot speak for themselves because they are held captive. And,
there's a scripture that God gave me years ago, Proverbs 21:13. If you fail to hear the cry of the poor, you will cry and not be heard.
Wow.
It's serious stuff. Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. I'm being trafficked and you saved me. Or, I was naked and you didn't clothe me.
That's a lot to think about.
And I want to tell you something. Here's the deal. In Ezekiel 9, very heavy. We serve a loving God. But I got to tell you something. This God can be viciously violent. And in Ezekiel 9, the man with the inkhorn was told to mark everyone in the city of Jerusalem. Mark all those who cry out against the abominations of the city. He didn't say mark those who offer sacrifice and come pray at the temple. All those who cry against the abominations of the city. Talk about public policy.
Uh-huh.
And he said to the four men at the four corners, he said, now go butcher everyone that doesn't have the mark, starting at the temple with the elders. I said, God, you're so violent. Violent. And he showed no mercy. Once the mark was on, there is no mercy. And he said, I am the God of violence who suffered such great violence so that you wouldn't have to. But if you fail to cry against the abominations of the city, you shall fall under the judgment of my wrath. This is serious stuff. People play these games with God and salvation and grace. But no. That's right. God is the God of grace. Jesus Christ came to save us by grace. But I want to don't play games with him. Don't say I'm saved by grace, then watch your brother being butchered.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say you're saved by grace and you let the nation go down. What was the Great Commission all about? Go into all the world.
Mm-hmm.
And God told Ananias to go anoint Saul. He said, for I have called him to go before kings and princes. What for? To change their ways, like he did with Jonah.
And you know what? I did pull up Ezekiel 9, and it says, just the thought, it says here, as I listened, he said to the others, follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter the old men. The young men and women, the mothers and children, but do not touch anyone who has the mark.
And that mark was because they cried.
Mm-hmm.
They cried against.
They began
against, they
with the old men. Yeah, I mean,
that's right.
God is a God of compassion and love, and He also shows that He has to be like a father, disciplinarian, you know. And we are standing in our communities, working. You know, Ruthie, you said something about in the beginning where you were talking about the young girls. You remember that?
I mean, for the longest time, we would see this van pull up and all, you know, this parade of girls come out, and they would go into they would go into this place, and then you would see, you know, some other girls take their place in the van, and we just thought it was really, really odd. But we never really put the two and two together of human trafficking. You know, it seemed as though it was, you know, because this is in New York City, so in New York City, a lot of times there's people that get picked up for work in a van and get, you know, taken to where they're going to work because of lack of transportation or what have you. Maybe they're coming in from Jersey or Connecticut. So we didn't, you know, alarms didn't go off in our head until that, you know, we saw that sting, and then all of a sudden it all clicked. And, you know, I felt a lot of guilt for a long time because I'd been seeing this going on, you know, the dropping off and picking up for quite a while, and
right.
never thought to call anyone because didn't really see anything odd with it except that they were just girls. You know, there really weren't any males involved.
Tony,
well,
what would you say to somebody that sees something like that? Let's say Los Angeles, Tennessee, Mississippi, doesn't matter where, that they see
right.
something that's like that. What would you say to them?
I would say get on the phone and call the hotline, or call the FBI, call the law enforcement. Say, I see something here that looks very suspicious and could be human trafficking, and here's the information, and you need to respond because quickly. That's exactly what I would do.
And do you have the number to that hotline that you keep mentioning?
Yeah, you can get it on the internet, the human trafficking hotline. I think I don't have it at hand right now because I'm not in the office per se.
Okay,
I do have it. I just pulled it up. It's National Human Trafficking Resource Center, and that number is 1-888-3737. Well, that's too many numbers there. Hold on a second. Let's look at
some. No,
wait, say that
little
again,
number.
Because I think they did make a mistake. What was that again?
It's 888-3737-888. So let me go ahead and check it out again.
No,
yeah,
That's the right number
of
numbers.
Okay, that is. Okay, so it's 888-373-7888. They just put the dash in the wrong number. In the wrong area. This is a National Human Trafficking Resource Center. That is 888-373-7888. And that is confidential. They also have it in Spanish and in English. The website also, I guess they call it the PolarisProject.org.
Right.
I'll put that information along with your information in our website, which is going to, be updated tomorrow. But this is the hotline to call if there's anything suspicious. But would you call them first and then call police? I would call the police. If I had something right there and then, I'll call the police and then call the 888
number. Well, either one. The hotline, of course, is specialized in human trafficking. Now, the police, you might get, you might dial 911, but the hotline is the direct response to human trafficking.
And they know.
And be sure and get a hold of us at cedarsfoundation.org. Get on our mail list because we got a whole bunch of conferences. We're going to be going down to Florida, East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, everywhere.
Are you coming to Texas, Tony?
What?
Are you coming to Texas?
Hey, that's one of my target cities. I say that's one of my target states. You know, Houston's got a little issue down there. You know, it's right on the border. You know, those border states, there you are. Got to watch out.
And you know what? Another thing, too, human trafficking, although the majority is for sexual exploitation and pornography and all that, also there's an increase on human trafficking to put, you know,
the black market, meaning body, you know, livers and whatever. And I've been hearing some also other stories where, you know, we need to be cognitive, we need to be responsible and accountable, and we need to be able to know our surroundings. Knowledge is power, and if we don't have any knowledge, we can't be
right.
powerful. And
that's
I think
right.
what you brought tonight is going to, I'm you know, I'm going to tell you, Tony, it was hard for me to even try to get on the show today. Earlier today, I was saying, oh, Lord, maybe I should just kind of cancel it for another day. I'm not sure. I don't feel.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord kept on impressing upon me, you need to do the show. And I'm like, okay, so the technical difficulties, all those things, I know someone is listening and might be able to pull it from the archives and on a later date listen to it. But what I want them to remember from everything from all this, we are responsible. We do
That's
have
it.
Power. And we need to, as Christians, you know, we know that what was good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. We know that. The tables
yeah.
have turned. However, Christ never changes his word. God never changes his
never
word.
Does.
If he says something, he says it for eternity and beyond. So do you have, you know, anything, last-minute words or anything?
Yeah. I want to encourage you about something, folks. People say, oh, this is so overwhelming. What can one person do? Well, I just draw your attention to the widow with the two mites. All she had was 2 cents, and yet that 2 cents was used by God to teach the whole world how to give for the last 2,000 years. And here's the other thing. When Ezekiel was told by God to warn Israel of the impending judgment, God also told him, he said, they're not going to listen to you. But Ezekiel didn't sit there and say, well, what am I going to waste my time for? His actions were based on obedience to the command, not on results. And if you save one person, this is what got me involved. I realized the problem. I said, maybe if I knew the warning signs of a predator, I could save one child. And by the way, through our conference, we were instrumental in saving a young girl who was being prostituted.
Wow, what a
blessing. Oh, it's a whole story. It's a powerful story. And if I never did anything else, that was well worth it.
You know, Tony, it has been a blessing. We have about 2 minutes left, and I just want to tell you thank you so much. I will definitely put your information. I will sign up for your – I know I already get your newsletter – I want
right.
to make sure that everybody gets your newsletter, and that will be available on our website tomorrow.
Great.
Ruthie, thank you so much for carrying this on while I was handling this stuff out here. But that the Lord may be always with us. Tony, once again, thank you so much, and hope to speak to you or have you on our show one more time in the future.
I'd be delighted.
Thank
it's you. Been a blessing and a pleasure to be with you, too. May God grant you many years and good success.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Hello and happy holidays. Welcome back to our internet radio program hosted by Vivian Kelly.
We're having still technical difficulties. Ruthie, thank you so much. Everyone have a good night, and we'll be back next Sunday, God willing. Please be careful and remember, no matter how much you think you're alone, you are not. God is always with you, and if you are going through any of these issues, remember, God will always be there. And we need to pray and be knowledgeable. And let God lead us in everything we do. Good night.